Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hi, guys, and welcome to the 75th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And just want to welcome everyone to the December episodes. We're doing all five recordings in one night. Should be a fun evening. If you're listening to this on your podcast app, then you don't know that we did that, but we did that all in one day, so it's going to be fun.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversations and hearing about the things that stick out to you. We are really excited about this week's guest, Harrison Sansastri. Did I say it right, Harrison?
Yeah.
He is an up-and-coming new author out of London who, at the age of 11, wrote the book The Little Dude's School Survival Guide, which is out now. Thanks, Harry, for coming on with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
So, Harry, tell us a little about yourself. How old are you? Where do you go to school? Stuff like that.
Well, my name is obviously Harrison Sansastri. I'm 13 now, and I go to a school called Finchley Catholic in the Finchley area. I'm 13 now. I don't know. I'm just a regular person, really. I just happen to write a book.
Well, let's jump right into that book then, and tell us a little about The Little Dude's School Survival Guide. How did it come about? What is it about?
How it came about, I was bullied for about 2 years, from like year four to year six, because I'm a child actor as well, so people found out and they got jealous and they started to bully me. But I started to write like a kind of diary in the format of a book, because I've always wanted to write a book since I was 8. But because I was lazy when I was 8, I didn't really do it. But, yeah. So I did it in the format, like that, and then eventually Mum found all the stuff that had happened on my iPad, and we got it sorted out with headmistress, because, you know, my bullying, everything that went on was kept on the iPad. And then she read it again and said to me, Harrison, this is really good. Can you finish it for me? And I was like, okay. So we finished it. And then it was edited a little, then it was sent off to publishers, and then eventually one publisher came back and said, yeah, we'll take it on. Yeah. So, and I also go into schools and do things.
That's very cool. So what's been one of the coolest things that's happened to you since you've published the books? I'm sure you've been on lots of interviews, and you said you talked about going to schools. What's been the most rewarding part of that for you?
Well, one of the most rewarding parts, I can't really say in recognition, because as some of the bullies, they went to the same secondary school as me, so if I start suddenly going around like, hey, I wrote a book, they might, you know, start up again. But maybe one of the things is I do book talks to every month. My headmaster lets me off. I get 2 half days, so that would probably be it, like half days, and seeing the kids, like, you know, laughing, putting their hands up to ask questions, or, you know, that's
Do you find that when you're doing these talks that you're meeting other kids that are experiencing the same things that you had when before writing the book?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, always in every school, there's going to be at least one bully child or someone who feels upset. Obviously, no one's going to put a hand up and be like, "Oh, I was bullied and stuff," because I'm not a teacher, so they wouldn't come to me and tell me. But at the same time, I feel like I have some sort of connection after a while, and because people start coming up and, you know, start talking to me, start asking me questions, and just generally start to be friends with me. So literally in 1 hour, I've got quite a few friends with them, and I just have some sort of connection.
So I know that in this book, and we were just talking about it, and in some of the blogs that you've written about, bullying is just a constant topic, and it's a hot topic in education in general. What advice do you give to kids that are being bullied? And then on the other hand, what advice would you give to teachers who see kids being bullied?
Well, to children, I would say communicate, because one of the things that students or children feel is that they have to take this on by themselves. And when they feel like that, they isolate it from everything else, and it eventually gets worse and worse. And they don't realize that keeping it inside just makes them feel worse about it. So if you say it, it gets something off your chest, and at the same time, it's going to be solved. For teachers, it can be a problem, because there are some schools that don't really deal with bullying well, and because they're teachers, they don't really have as a say as maybe a staff supervisor or something like that. But if, for a teacher, I would say just listen to the child, and if you think that they are uncomfortable anything, ask if they're okay, but don't, you know, get on their nerve or constantly ask them if they're okay, because that's not what they want. They'll come to you when they feel comfortable with it.
So speaking of books, what are some of your other favorite books that you enjoy reading yourself?
One of my favorite ones would be Anthony Horowitz, the Alex Rider series. I really like that. And the Harry Potter. I've read that and I was like, no, I really enjoyed it.
Did you like the movies?
Yeah, I really like the movies. I think my favorite would have been the fourth one, because it's like Hunger Games. Oh yeah, another book I like was The Hunger Games. In the film, so, yeah.
Love The Hunger Games. Yeah. So who inspires you in your life right now?
Inspires me... I think someone who would inspire me would probably be Jeff Kinney from Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Because originally I didn't really like his books, I wasn't a real fan. There's nothing wrong with him, I just wasn't a real fan of him. And I went to a book festival on the Isle of Man, and there was a talk for Diary of a Wimpy Kid by an associate with Jeff Kinney. And it was really amazing to listen to his story, because apparently he came from, I can't remember, but he wasn't really good at a lot of things like maths or English, but he was really good at art, and he just used that to, you know, create something, and that's really inspirational. So I guess he really inspires me, Jeff Kinney.
What about as you get older? You're in middle school now, I'm assuming, right? You're 7 or so?
Yeah.
So what about plans for the future? What, like, even through high school and beyond, what are your plans look like?
I guess just keep writing, keep acting, just keep trying my best at school, really. There's, you can't really stress it out, like, oh, I've got to keep going. Because writing and acting are a hobby to me. Acting, yeah. When I get something, it's a job, it turns professional, and writing does as well, but it's also just a hobby, something that's...
Do you prefer one over the other, writing or acting?
I'd say writing a little bit, because writing's more relaxed. You can do it when you want, and it's constant. Whereas acting, you get large periods of no auditions, jobs, or callbacks. But then you get like really short periods of callbacks and jobs, and it gets annoying when you're not picked. So yeah, I think I'd favor writing like that much over the other. Mm-hmm.
So with the acting things, what's been the best experience that you've had with acting?
I did this thing when I was 9, about 4 years ago. It was a play called Lord of the Flies in the West, and it was in a West End theatre in Regent's Park, and I played the little and Percival. It was really good. I did that for like 2 months. Nice.
So outside of writing and acting, are there any hobbies that you do outside of school?
Outside of school, I do swimming, and I do drama professionally, and just I go to classes at Guildhall. So... apart from that, I do Xbox and I write, and that's about it.
That's cool. Yeah. How about plans for another book?
Plans? Well, the second one I'm writing right now, I want to be a sci-fi writer. So the second one I'm writing now is called The Chronicles of Derek Dunstable, and it's coming out early January 2015, and it's about a boy called Derek Dunstable who's 16, though now he hasn't got a lot of friends and all that, and the school's taken over by some sort of robotic zombie-like virus, and they're going to try and survive. It's like a miniature apocalypse in the school.
Is it going to be in the same format where it's kind of like diary style, or is it more like a classic novel?
I think it's just first person, just okay. You know, just present tense. Yeah, it's
got, cool.
So obviously writing anything or acting takes up a lot of time to get to do it and do it well. How do you balance the things that you're doing with that and your schoolwork?
Well, it is difficult because the headmaster has to give me like time at school. I've got to like do really well in like stuff like maths and English and all that. So I've got to get my homework done, which I do. I go and get it done myself. So I've got... It's difficult because I get my homework done, I do my writing, my daily writing, like maybe a chapter or something. I get my auditions done every now and then. But, you know, it's difficult like to have my own free time. That's why I don't do a lot of stuff like karate or go to football club or anything, because it's usually taking up quite a lot of stuff. So the way I balance homework is I get it done as soon as I come in from school, and then I just spend the rest of my day going up homework.
thinking back, like over the last maybe year or two, like since the book's come out, what's one of the biggest things you've learned over the last year or two?
Over the last year, I think I've learned that despite I don't think it's got anything to actually do with business at all. I think it's got something to what I told you earlier called communicate, because even I didn't know it, and I was kind of writing this stuff in my book. It's because that if you're going, it's hard to understand if you're not going through it. And when you're going through it, it's that kind of panicky moment that you don't want to say anything because you're scared what will happen if you do say anything and there'll be a fuss and everything. So what I've learned is probably to communicate, and that with writing it's tough because there's so many people in the writing business that you've just got to be original and unique and stand out.
If you could look at the school that you're going to right now and change one thing about it to make it better, what would you change?
Oh, there's a lot of things I want to change about it. But one of them would be probably just the way people are about things. Like, there's people, I don't know, like the kind of popular people, the so-called bad man, but basically are like the kind of bad kids at school. I wouldn't want to change them, because school wouldn't be school without the kind of bad man, but I just want them to be respectful to other people. Maybe other people are weirder than them or just don't like the same things, but we don't need to call them names or bully them or something just because they're not like them, because they don't like the fact that someone's different and don't like the same thing. That's probably one thing I'd change.
So thinking about like advice to your teachers, let's say you wanted to give one of your favorite teachers came up to you and said, I want some advice on why you think I'm your favorite teacher. What makes me the best? What would you tell them?
What makes you the best? Probably because you're like original and you're kind and you're fair. Because there's some teachers who can have the choice to make it fun, but yeah, educational, and just be nice to their students, but they choose the complete opposite and make it like a military school or a military camp. But there can be awesome teachers out there who like maybe show, you know, their students videos in an educational way, educational videos, do experiments with them, and there's other teachers who just don't. So probably that would be something that differs. They're fair and they're fun, but yet they, you know, have a kind of discipline.
So, in the school that you're at now, what are some of the kinds of technology that you use in school?
Well, one of the things that I was really amazed by was in year 7, in the canteen, instead of paying with like proper money, we have a fingerprint scanner. We have an account, and our account is registered on a fingerprint. So we put a fingerprint down, and we have a certain amount of money on it, and we can just pay off there with the amount the food costs, and you just update it every now and then with some of the money. So it's
Oh, that's cool. What about technology in class? Are any of your teachers using technology to like enhance your lessons to make it better?
Apart from computer science, I wouldn't really say so. The things they use, like projectors and interactive whiteboards, that's about it. Apart from computers, that's it, really.
Yeah. So you don't have like iPads or Chromebooks or anything like that in the classroom?
In some classrooms we have computers, and I think in others we have like digital drawing, but we definitely don't have iPads. We used to in my primary school,
Are you allowed to use your cell phones if you needed to in class, like for different technology resources?
No, because they don't even allow you to bring your phone if you're walking home to call your parents or anything. If they hear a phone, they'll literally, as soon as they think someone has it, they'll take it off you, and you have to get your parents to get it back off.
Wow.
Do you think that having your phone accessible in, let's say, in the classroom and maybe in the hallways would be beneficial to your education?
Yes and no, because as much as it can be educational, there's going to be people who maybe don't use it for educational reasons. Mm-hmm. So it's really a trust thing. If you can't trust your students with phones, like in class, then you can't trust them in the hallways or on the playground, because then people can listen to each other's phones and break them. And so yeah, it's just about trust, really. So yes and no.
So the one thing, Harry, that we always like to end on with our guests is asking them, what is something right now that you're really passionate about?
Something that I'm really passionate about is bullying would be one, but also I think social media, the way that social media is developing. because there's some sites like Twitter, which you and me have been talking on, Todd, which is like amazing, but there's some social media like Instagram that's full of people that, you know, don't have their own opinion, they you know, are so-called sidemen, they don't have their own backbone, that kind of thing. Yeah. And cyberbullying would be one as well, because it's just terrible cyberbullying.
Yeah. What about, how can listeners connect with you, Harry?
How can listeners connect with me? I have got a website, which is called www.hgsunsoshri.com. I've also got my Twitter account, hgsunsoshri. And, yeah, those are ways you can connect with me if you've got any questions or, you know.
Well, awesome. Thanks for joining us tonight. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ, and then our website is EduAllStars.com. And then also you can find us on iTunes by searching out EduAllStars with no spaces, and you'll find the 75 episodes that we have there available to download.
And join us for our next episode as we interview Peter DeWitt. Thank you, Harry, for coming on with us tonight. We really appreciate you giving up some time, especially so late at night for you.
All right. Thanks.